Perhaps some of you remember a film, I think it came out in the early 90s, entitled The Last Temptation of Christ. Does that ring a bell to anyone here? Folks were very strident in their thoughts about that film. Some folks hailed it as an invitation to consider Jesus's full humanity. Others felt like it was sacrilegious. It took up a lot of airtime in the activities and the conversation around what was happening in Jesus as a human. Because for the first time, perhaps for some people, they came to touch parts of their own selves, their own bodily ways, that they hadn't considered before. Ways that we might feel uncomfortable with Jesus caring about or having, like sexuality, or desire, or hunger, or vulnerability. It can be that people we are welcoming to Jesus as a human, but only to a certain extent. Like, did Jesus really have desire? Eek! That seems a little scary. Could Jesus have really been vulnerable? Oh dear. This is why we talk about the incarnation being audacious. These are some of the parts of being a human that we are unsure of. And when we feel unsure, we feel threatened. And when we feel threatened, we feel defensive. What does it mean to be human? And was Jesus really fully human and fully divine? When we think about God becoming human, we think, yes, but not this part. Surely not like this part. There are parts of ourselves, I believe, which we're sure that the sun don't shine on. It is in darkness, and in part because we don't know what to do with it. We have parts of ourselves which we keep hidden, hidden from ourselves and from others because it's just unfit for divine contact. God should not look on this. Being human is messy. I want to assure you, as your priest and pastor, that I already know that. When people tell me things that are hard for them to express, you might find that I respond with a lack of surprise. It's not because I'm indifferent. It's because, of course, people have always been this way. This is how people are. We really haven't changed over all of the millennia. Cole author Arthur Riley writes in her book, This Here Flesh, these words. I have often wondered if Mary, even with full knowledge and proclamation of the glory of her womb, felt shame for it. As her body changed and belly grew, did she question if it was worthy to hold the divine? Or did she see her flesh for what it was, holy, weak, powerful, human, and holy? For me, she goes on to say, the story of God becoming body is only matched by God's submission to the body of a woman. That the creator of the cosmos would choose to rely on an embodied creation, to be grown, fed, delivered. God put faith in a body. In Mary's muscles and hormones, bowels and breasts. And when Christ's body is broken and bloodshed, we should hold in mystery that first a woman's body was broken, her blood shed, in order to deliver the hope of the world into the world. This is the mystery about which we speak in the Feast of the Incarnation. John's Gospel is inviting us into this mystery. It's not a narrative that I just read at the start of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In the beginning, all things were made through him. Not one thing came into being that was not made. It's a prose that's more poetic than anything, because how do you describe the truth that God came among us? I'm sure that the psalm that was appointed for today was chosen because of the emphasis on the Word. God's word becomes flesh. This is something that we spend our whole lives relating to and deepening our relationship with as we come face to face with what it means to be fleshly beings, and not only fleshly, but divine as well. Not divine like Jesus the Christ, but with the thumbprint of the divine on us in a way which is irrefutable. When we talk about being human and the messiness of it, it often makes us feel uncomfortable. And if you're feeling that way, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I want you to simply notice your discomfort. This is the discomfort of the incarnation. God desires humanity and all creation and invites us to desire back. One of the things that I have a lot of energy around is young people in our midst, particularly teenagers and young adults. This is something I've cared about longer than I can remember, and it's interesting how it continues to grow and develop. And one thing that we notice in young people is desire. There's a hunger that comes in teenagers and in young adulthood. For many of us, we're not sure what to do with it, and we try to create laws that keep them from going out in a wayward way that becomes problematic and difficult. And sometimes they follow them and sometimes they don't. What I would love for us as a church to be able to do is to identify or recognize the desire. Right now, all that our young people are offered in response to their desire is stuff that's marketed to them. They're sold things in order to make their desire settle down. But we have the invitation for a relationship with God, bigger than what we can imagine. And if we can tell our young people, you know, this is a way to attend to your desire, to love God as much as God loves you. Perhaps the desire within you is actually God's desire for you, an echo, a mirror of God's love in and for you. It will take us and our ability to recognize that within ourselves in order for us to identify it in our young people. But I would love for them to have something more offered to them than the next thing to buy or to do. We often ask God to become less human so that our comfort can be restored in who God is. But I invite you to consider God's invitation for you to become more divine so that all of your humanity can reflect the glory of God. Even those places where you don't want the sun to shine. Our first and last temptation, and every temptation in between, is to believe that we can become God without God. Sin is our attempt to be like God without God. But we are reminded in this feast of the incarnation that the Word became flesh. And it became flesh because God wanted to demonstrate to us God's befriending of humanity, a demonstration of God's love for humanness. By coming among us in the flesh, God invites us to love God and to love what God loves. And we do this. Throughout our lives, we grow in doing it ever more, not through the law, as has been handed down, but through the relationship and the guidance and direction of our Lord and Savior, the servant teacher, Jesus the Christ. Oh, come, let us adore him. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.